Hey, good morning, everyone. Dave Weiner here. It is Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. And this morning I got online and one of the first things I saw was a discussion between Joan Walsh and Harry Shearer. And it's since developed into this really incredibly long thread, but this was pretty close to the beginning of the thread. And so I went all the way to the top and I read it, and what Shearer was saying was, he was criticizing Hillary Clinton in a kind of snarky, sarcastic way, and for not disclosing her pneumonia before she became really, you know, too sick from it to hide it.
Of course one could criticize her for that. I think it's a small sin and very, very understandable and something that I believe every politician would do. In fact, I have to say, there was actually an episode of The West Wing where this was actually one of the, not the only topic, but one of the candidates for president, Arnie Vinnick, who was played by Alan Alda, and had trouble locating the name. I couldn't run for president. My memory isn't good enough. I'm only 61, though, not as old as either of the candidates. But so Alan Alda had been, they thought he had a broken hand because he had been shaking hands so much, and his right hand was just completely inflamed. They thought there was a broken bone in there, and they brought a doctor in to meet with him in a limo. And they told the doctor up front, they said, if anybody asks, you were here to discuss health policy with the candidate, not anything having to do with his health. Because, for the same reason Hillary Clinton didn't disclose right up front that she had pneumonia, because Vinnick was much older than his opponent, who was played by Jimmy Smits, who, I'm trying to remember the character's name, Santos, something Santos, Matt Santos. I loved the season 6 and 7 of The West Wing. I know a lot of people didn't like it, but I really did. It introduced a whole bunch of new characters, and I thought that Alda and Smits were just fantastic, and, it was wonderful West Wing. So, there was this one scene where he, they had to wear a cast when he wasn't in public, but he would go ahead and shake hands, and there was this one scene where he walks up onto stage, he's about to give a speech, and there's this huge guy, he's like a football player, and he's so happy to see Arnie Vinnick, and he just shakes his hand, and you could see the look on Vinnick's face, it's like all just color fell out of his face, and this total grimace, but he turned it into a smile. And he went ahead and gave his speech just as if nothing were happening. He also was fighting a cold in that campaign the whole time through it. And so their point was, they had real political consultants working on this, people who actually worked on in the White House and were on presidential campaigns. They were talking about things that actually happened in campaigns. So, you know what? I have to say, I bet this isn't the first time that a candidate for president had pneumonia and didn't disclose it. The other times they got away with it, they managed to recover without it becoming an issue. Hillary Clinton wasn't so lucky. And I don't think it's going to hurt her, honestly. I really don't. I think that unlike all the other potential scandals, things that the press report as just, scandalous, appearance of scandal, et cetera, whatever. Everybody understands what pneumonia means. And you go, she got pneumonia. Shit happens. What are you going to do? They always talk about how she has to become more human. Well, getting a serious illness actually does make someone pretty human. You do understand that, this is a human being running. And, I think given the alternative, I'm all slack for Hillary. I'm not going to give her a hard time on anything, because every time we attack her, okay, even in the smallest way, even if it's the least little nitpick, it all adds up, and there's so much of it. And it's like, I liken it to dancing with a jar of nitroglycerin in a TNT factory. You know, you might get away with it. You might. But then again, we might end up with Trump. And I'm sorry, so what Shearer says, okay, so we're in an argument, Harry Shearer, this is fucking Harry Shearer, who is, you know, one of the stars of The Simpsons, and he plays Principal Skinner, Mr. Burns, Ned Flanders, Reverend Lovejoy, Kent Brockman, Waylon Withers, Mr. Withers, whatever. The guy who loves Mr. Burns. He's gay and he works for Mr. Burns and he loves him. He plays him too. He plays both of them. So when they're having their little flirtations, he's playing both sides of it. It's just, what an honor to actually be arguing. And so I'm not going to give him a lot of shit, even though I think he's completely off the wall. And that's why I'm doing the podcast. He's off the wall. He says, why? I don't want either of these candidates. I said, you can go ahead and criticize Hillary for, remember, 140 characters. I can't say everything I'm thinking. You know, you can nitpick Hillary. That's what we're talking about here, is a complete fucking nit. Every candidate that has ever run in our lifetime would do exactly what she did. So you're not really criticizing her. You're making some kind of, you know, philosophical statement about how elections work in the United States and how the press covers these things. And they're so hysterical, the reporters. I mean, and there was Rudy Giuliani on TV the day before saying, oh, she's got Parkinson's or she's got this. It just go on the internet. And it's like feeding all the shit. You know, if she had a choice between having pneumonia or not having pneumonia, she's going to go for the not having pneumonia, right? And so she was trying to tough it out. Now, I also said in that thread that I have never not toughed out a disease. Never, ever, in my entire life. And I've had some real doozies. I had heart disease, and I tried to exercise my way through that one. And I came pretty close to dying. I mean, I should have died, actually. I had 100% blockage in one of my coronary arteries. When I finally got into the doctor and had the tests done, and I said, well, how is it that I'm standing here with 100% blockage? I said, oh, you know, a little bit of blood will get through, even 100% blockage, you know. So that's how close I came. And I was, you know, I was trying to tough it through with exercise. And I bet it worked for a few years, too. I did a lot of exercise. Why? Because I had chest pain and I felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest and all these things were happening and I knew they were warning signs of heart disease. And I thought, you know, I can just like get rid of this by exercising, and it seemed to work. And then finally it didn't work anymore. And I got lucky. I got into the doctor early enough to get the surgery, and it was all fixed. I knock wood. Hope it's still fixed. I try to take care of myself as best as I can. I still tough it out on things because that's just human nature to do it. You have to be really, really mature to not tough it out. And, you know, maybe a presidential candidate, maybe this kind of maturity isn't one of the things that's a hallmark of being a presidential candidate. They really have to believe they're capable of doing it. And they have to have, you know, so I think what Shearer said, I think it was a sign of, you know, there are a lot of things. I don't want either cancer or heart disease, but I have one of them. Can't help it. It's the way it is. You know, my doctors told me I was 47 when this happened. And they said, whatever you do, don't blame yourself for this. This is genes. You can't lifestyle yourself to this condition at age 47. It has to be genetic in order for this to happen. And I learned a lot about my family history and Yes, it was genetic. I guess I'd never asked the questions about, what so and so, and back, whatever. So, yes, as an adult, there are things in life that you have a choice between A and B, and neither of them are good. And that's just what life is like. It's just what it's like. And wishing it to be different isn't going to make a difference. And so Scheer says he lives in a non-battleground state, probably California or New York, one or the other. I don't know where he lives. And I also live in a non-battleground state. So in a sense, our votes don't matter, but they do matter. They do. Absolutely do matter. I mean, it's not necessarily going to change the vote of any bill in Congress, but it does matter. And you know who you vote for. And not only that, this is a very visible guy. Let's see how many followers he has. Hold on. He has 124,000 followers. So some people are listening to him. And he's Harry Shearer. He's this great comedian and just incredible actor. And has entertained us so much. So, I'm willing to cut him a lot of slack just because I have literally laughed out loud at his jokes. Some of the things, I love Mr. Burns. I love the whole thing. I love every one of them. His characters are the best. I mean, except for like Bart Simpson and Lisa Simpson and Homer Simpson and Marge Simpson and all the other characters on the show. It's definitely one of my all-time favorites, right? So I'll cut him some slack. But I have one more thing to say about this, is that it also is the nature of our form of government, as it was designed by the founding fathers in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Our form of government requires compromise. Nobody gets what they want. Nobody. And this is probably the biggest single problem that we have in our country because people don't understand this. Here we are, growing up. Oh, I mean, I don't know if Scheer grew up in the United States. I assume he did. I did. And we grew up in this country, but they didn't necessarily teach us this in school. I know they never taught me this in school. That, and maybe they did, or it went over, sailed over my head and it never sunk in, is that nobody gets what they want in this country because it's, we have representative government. So that's the first thing that dilutes our will. We don't vote on things, on decisions. Yeah, some of them, some states we do. We have the propositions. So, for example, California this year, they're going to decide on legal recreational marijuana. That's a big deal. And whatever the voters decide is going to be the law. So there are some cases where we do actually vote. And that's up to the states, I guess. It's not anything that's in the Constitution. But at the national level, we only have representation. We don't participate in the government. Our only form of participation is in voting for people who will represent us. And they will, and they don't make the decision either. They participate in making the decision. Even the President of the United States doesn't decide things. They can always be overruled by the Supreme Court, or not just the Supreme Court, all the courts. They have veto power over the President. The President doesn't govern in any absolute fashion. He's we're there's advice, there's reviews, checks and balances, right? All these famous things that we have in our form of government that really make it. And so there's only one president, okay? And that means in any given year that the way things have evolved is that half of the people in the country are going to be unhappy with who the president is, but not that unhappy, because nobody can get elected without considering, without building a coalition that gets a majority of electoral votes. So they have to owe something to enough people to get elected. And so you do actually have some influence over it. And you'll get some of what you want, but you won't get all of it. But you're also fairly well guaranteed that you're not going to end up with, you know, well, here's the punchline. You're pretty well guaranteed you're not going to end up with a Donald Trump. Except in 2016, there's now, according to 538, there's a 34.4% chance. This is using the polls plus forecast. So 34.4% chance that yes, we will get Donald Trump as president of the United States. And I don't like that number. That's not a good number. There's a higher probability of Donald Trump being president than the Mets going back to the World Series. I can kind of guarantee you that. There's still a chance the Mets go back to the World Series this year. It's not a good chance. They're not as good a team this year as they were last year. But and the Washington Nationals and the Chicago Cubs, they're all doing great and they're all on the path. You know, the Mets would have to beat them or whoever beat them in order for them to get to the World Series. So I don't think that's going to happen, but there's a higher degree probability that that Donald Trump gets elected president than the Mets make it back to the World Series. So it's that's not good. I think that for the next, whatever, 60 days, it's less than 60 days to the election, I think that people who criticize Hillary Clinton, nitpick her, call her corrupt, make her sound like a bad person, which she is not a bad person, okay? These people are the people who are juggling nitro in a TNT factory. They really are playing a dangerous game. And not, you know, if you want to play a dangerous game with your life and your family's life, well, with your life, then go ahead. More power to you. I'm a former smoker. I smoked for 31 years, and so I know about taking personal risk. And go ahead and do it. But you're not just taking personal risk here. You're screwing with the whole country and in a real way with the rest of the world, because there's so many unknowns about Trump, and everything that we see, that we do know, tells us that what we don't know is going to be pretty awful. If we ever do find out what is going on there, you know? And so, you know, nitpicking Hillary about the question of disclosing her pneumonia, whether it was on Friday or Sunday, is like a big effing shoulder shrug. It's like, why don't you get over it? Because it's not a big issue. It's not something that says, well, fuck it. I don't give a shit if it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. If you're crazy, you don't give a shit if it's one of them or the other. And there are a lot of crazy people in the United States. Enough crazy people, in my opinion, that, or people who aren't paying attention, or people who don't give a shit, or people who have very weird ideas about what life would be like with a jerk like Trump. I mean, he's not just a madman, the guy's a jerk. I mean, he doesn't even begin to pass the beer test. Would you really have a beer with this guy? I mean, aye. Anyway. Come on, everybody. Please, be nice to Hillary. She's doing something good for us, so let's return the favor, okay? Anyway, that's my two cents. Dave Weiner here, scripting.com. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.